Matthew, the second chapter. Matthew, the second chapter. Angela also has some tapes back there, if you would want to get one after the service tonight. And also these Bible reading helps. What we have left now is out there. You may go look at them. Matthew, the second chapter, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" We'll stop right there. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to help us as we look into the Word together tonight. Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming back to God's house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's come this way. Thank you for these good songs about the birth of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the good testimony of Brother Tucker, and then these wonderful songs about heaven and about Jesus from Angela. And Lord, it's been a blessing already to be in God's house. And thank you for the good Spirit of God we've already felt. And I pray now that you'd help us as we look into your inspired, infallible Word. And may we get something from it, Lord, that'll help us to appreciate the fact that Christ did come as God's anointed one. And he's coming back again someday to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, Lord, give me liberty. I can't preach without your help. Lord, I acknowledge that. Would you anoint me and bless your Word? Bless these dear people. Speak to hearts. Somebody here not saved, help them to get saved. Somebody not right with thee, may they come to this altar and get right with thee tonight. Get glory to your dear name out of this service. Now help me, Lord, and defeat the devil. Anoint me and help me. And help me to lift up Jesus and his Word and meet needs. We pray tonight in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. And amen. Now the four Gospels were written to emphasize four different aspects of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each Gospel now that has a certain picture of the Lord in each one. Now, for instance, in Matthew, let me just have you to participate. In Matthew, what character of Christ or work of Christ is emphasized in Matthew? His king. We see him as king in Matthew. Then we move over to the book of Mark. What aspect of the life of Christ do we see in the book of Mark emphasized? He's a servant. He came to be a servant. Isn't it wonderful? He came from heaven to this earth to be a servant. Then we move to the book of Luke, and we see what about Christ? His what in Luke? Man. See Christ, the man. The man Christ Jesus. And then in the book of John, what is emphasized there about Christ? Son of God. He's emphasized there as the Son of God. Now certainly all of these aspects are in all of the Gospels, but each one of the Gospels, it seems like, has a special emphasis. Now, if you would turn to the introduction to the book of Matthew, if you have a Scofield Reference Bible, and look down the page there in introduction to about the fifth paragraph. Notice in the introduction of the book of Matthew in your Scofield Reference Bible, but the prominent character of Christ in Matthew is that of the covenanted king, David's righteous branch. Matthew records his genealogy, his birth in Bethlehem, the city of David, according to Micah, as we'll see in a moment. The ministry of his forerunner, according to Malachi. The ministry of the king himself, his rejection by Israel, his predictions of his second coming in power and great glory. So I believe that the Holy Ghost inspired Matthew to picture Jesus as a king. In the first chapter, we see in verses 1 through 17, the genealogy of a king. He was in the line of David, the royal line. And then in verses 18 to 25, we see the virgin birth of the king. And then we move into chapter 2, and we see the wise men, the magi, came to worship who? The king of the Jews. And then we see Herod, the fear of King Herod, that Jesus would take his throne. But tonight now, I want us to see the four prophecies that the Holy Spirit led Matthew to include in this second chapter to offer proof that Jesus was the king the Old Testament prophets said would come. And the central theme of the Old Testament prophets was that there was coming a king who would be the ruler over God's kingdom. An Old Testament prophecy is full of the predictions of a glorious kingdom on this earth. And the king over this kingdom, on this earth, would be none other than his man, his Messiah, his Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm told that there are 322 specific Old Testament prophecies that have been fulfilled or will be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when the prophets in the Old Testament wrote these prophecies, they didn't fully understand what they wrote, but they knew they were writing about God's Messiah that would come. Hold your place here and we'll come right back. Turn over to 1 Peter and we see a little bit about the prophets and their writing about Jesus and things to come. 1 Peter 1, 10 and 11. 1 Peter 1, 10. Of which, it's page 1312 in your old Scofield Reference Bible. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. So the Spirit of Christ, you see how the Bible is written? The Holy Spirit in the men of old that wrote about it. And the Holy Spirit was the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand, hundreds of years before Christ came. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, was in these prophets, and he testified, and they wrote down hundreds of years in advance the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, they didn't fully understand all about it, but they knew they were prophesying about God's Messiah. So from the 322 Old Testament prophecies concerning Christ, Matthew selects just four. And these four prophecies point to the king. And they show that Christ, as the king, fulfilled each one. I don't believe it's an accident that Matthew chose these four out of 322. I believe that it was under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost I believe the Holy Spirit led him to put these down just as he led all the writers of the Word of God. Now, these four prophecies were proof that the Lord Jesus Christ was, now get this, or you'll miss the whole thing. These four prophecies prove that Jesus Christ was the only one who could rightfully claim to be the Messiah King. All others have to be rejected as usurpers. And so I want us to look at these four prophecies. Naturally, we'll just have to just barely give a few details about each one. But they deal with four geographical locations. They deal with Bethlehem, they deal with Egypt, they deal with Ramah, and they deal with Nazareth. And so let's look at these four prophecies briefly here tonight. First of all, I've already read about the prophecy of his birth at Bethlehem. We see in verse 2 that the wise men came, and they came in riding into Jerusalem, and they startled everyone by asking, where is he that was born king of the Jews? As I've already said, I believe that God showed these wise men from the book of Daniel that the time had come for the birth of Messiah. Or now, if that it could have been that God revealed this truth about that Christ had been born, or he had to reveal it while he's in the land. Now again, we're going the time. Some people think that they came the night that Christ was born. I believe maybe that, we don't know for sure, but I believe probably they came to see the Christ child many, many days and weeks and months later. But I believe back in the land, there are the Chaldees, back in Persia, back in there, the Holy Spirit of God either showed them through the Word of God, through Daniel, and through the times, the 483 years that expired to the Messiah, or that God just revealed to these wise men that the Messiah had been born. He might have spoke to these wise men like he spoke to Abraham. By the way, Abraham also, God spoke to him back in the Ur of the Chaldees. But whatever was the reason, however God did it, these wise men came to Jerusalem and they came to worship the King of the Jews. And I emphasized that, and I preached on that the other day. But folks, let me just say just another word. God give us a heart at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now folks, listen, I appreciate the way our people work. Brother Doug, we've got some people who work here at Buffalo. They'll visit and they'll work, and I appreciate it. But folks, now listen, working and visiting is not enough. Being faithful church, we need to worship and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to work. And I'm not trying to get you to give up working. No, I think we ought to work for Jesus, and we ought to praise and worship Him. I think it's a two-pronged approach. So we must learn to worship and to praise Him. And King Herod now gathered all the priests, the chief priests and the scribes together, and he asked them, notice it, it's very interesting that Herod said, where would the Christ be born? See, Herod knew a little about Jewish prophecy and Jewish hopes, and he said, where would the Christ be born? And then we see in verse 5, chief priests and the scribes, they knew Old Testament prophecy. In verse 5, they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. So they knew the prophet Micah said in Micah 5:2 that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Bethlehem was a quiet little town, 5 or 6 miles south of Jerusalem. The word Beth means house, and L-E-H-M, Lehem, means bread. So Bethlehem, I like this, the house of bread. It's wonderful that he who was the bread of life, who is the bread of life, was born in the house of bread. Now, the prophet Micah, and I believe hundreds of years before Jesus was born, the prophet Micah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Now, that's why I believe that the Word of God's inspired. Only God could look down 700 years into the future and say a certain person would be born at a certain place at a certain time. Only God could do that. That's why I believe the Bible is inspired of God. And so these wise men heard that the prophet Micah said he would be born in Bethlehem. The king would be born in Bethlehem. The king had to be born in Bethlehem because the prophet Micah 700 years before said he'd do it. So they went to Bethlehem and found Jesus and worshiped him. No one could ever claim to be the Messiah, the King of the Jews, unless he was born in Bethlehem. So proof number one that Jesus was the Messiah, the King, he was born in Bethlehem. Then we find another proof that he was the King of the Jews, born to be the rightful King, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. And the second prophecy that was fulfilled is the second proof, and that is his flight into Egypt in verses 13, 14, and 15. Joseph, as we'll see, had a dream and took Mary and the Christ child down into Egypt. Read about a little Sunday school boy who drew a picture in his Sunday school class of a 727 jet, And in that jet, he put four people in the cockpit. And the Sunday school teacher asked him, the Sunday school teacher said, "What is this and who are these people?" And the little boy said, "This is the flight into Egypt." And she said, well, who are all these people? And he said, "Well, there's Mary and Joseph and the baby." And she said, "Well, who is that fourth person?" The little boy said, "That's Pontius the pilot." I thought that's real cute since I'm on the flight into Egypt here. But let me point out four things just briefly about this second prophecy that was fulfilled in the life of Jesus, proving that he is Messiah the King. Just first of all, in verse 13, notice the dream. When the wise men departed, in verse 13, "Behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Now, the dream that we see here is not what we think of a dream today. I believe that Joseph was in a semi-conscious state and an angel actually appeared to him. And God has used that type of revelation in days gone by. But I believe today God speaks not through dreams and visions, but through His Word today. We have something, folks, better than a dream and vision. I want you to know we have the Word of God today. You can have your dreams and visions. I'll just let God speak to me through His Word. I'll be far better off because we know the Word is perfect and the Word of God will not fail and it won't pass away. Most of our dreams today are a result of too much pecan pie before we go to sleep at night anyway, aren't they? And I don't put too much stock. I hear a lot of people having dreams and visions. I don't put too much stock in dreams and visions. Now, I realize God can speak to people any way He wants to. But I just like to, when I want God to speak to me, I want to go to His Word. And let God, through the Spirit, speak to me through His precious Word. And by the way, folks, the devil can speak to you through a dream. So let's don't emphasize dreams and visions. Let's emphasize getting something from God through His Word. Hallelujah. So the angel told Joseph that Herod would seek to destroy the Christ child and for him to take the child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Then in verse 14 we see their departure. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Now, he took them and fled by night and began this long trip down in Egypt, a distance of 150 to 75 miles. We don't think much of 150 to 75 miles today with our super highways and interstates and cars and 65 mile an hour speed limit and all like that. But it took him days and maybe weeks to make this trip because he couldn't move fast with a small child. And the wonderful thing, too, about his going down into Egypt, look back up in verse 11. The wise men came and gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, one of the reasons that God led those wise men to bring some expensive gifts, I believe they were given by God as God's provision for Joseph and Mary and the Christ child when they went down into Egypt to take care of them for the time they were down in Egypt. And these were very valuable gifts. Then in verse 15, the first part of 15, we see the duration of their time down in Egypt and was there until the death of Herod. Now, they didn't stay very long. As history will tell us that Herod died in March or April of the year 4 B.C. And we don't know for sure, but they probably only stayed down there about 2 or 3 months. And over in verse 19, it says that when Herod died, we'll look over there at that in just a few moments, but the angel again appeared to the little family and told them to go back to the land of Israel. Herod wanted to kill the Christ child. But folks, we need to see this. Herod was just a pawn in the hands of Satan. Satan had filled this evil man, and Satan was trying to get rid of Christ. because Satan has been fighting against God and against God's people for 6,000 years, and he'll be fighting God's people until one day Satan will be bound and cast into the bottomless pit. And Satan is fighting today. He's fighting me. He's fighting you. And he'll keep fighting God's people and God's Christ until he's incarcerated in God's prison. I believe we saw another person Thursday night fighting God's people up at the John City Commission. Don't you? How many of you were there? Don't you think Satan was in that man that fought us up there Thursday night? He was in that man just as certain as I'm standing here tonight. I mean, here we were up there trying to keep a liquor store out of Gray, and a big beer distributor who's on the John City Commission. I thought it was going to be a riot. I thought we were going to have a riot before we got out of there. You're supposed to come up. Everybody's supposed to come up the mic and speak, and it degenerated until that one commissioner was shouting, and everybody out in the audience was shouting back at him. I sort of enjoyed it, but I was afraid it's going to get out of hand though. I'm a little scared that we're going to have a free-for-all on our hand. I didn't see a policeman around. Surely they had one around there somewhere. But that man was of Satan. He fought God's people, trying to keep a liquor store out of Gray, and he was fighting for the liquor store. And by the way, the pastor at Hales Chapel Christian Church called me, and I'm told now that all the liquor stores in Johnson City are going to start keeping a record of all the people in Gray who buy liquor up there, and they're going to put a name on a list and present it to the city commission to show that there's a need for a liquor store in Gray. So I don't want any of our members who go in the liquor store up there to let your name get on that list. It'd be embarrassing for your preacher. But no, reason I tell you ought to tell everybody around here that the liquor stores in John City are going to keep a list of every person from Gray who buys liquor. You ought to tell, if you know anybody who drinks liquor and buys liquor, you ought to tell them that. You ought to tell them to go to Kingsport and buy their liquor. Hallelujah. I mean, if they're going to buy that stuff, don't get it in Johnson City. And you ought to tell that around. Because, by the way, if they write a check, they're going to put, and with its Gray address on there, they're going to put their name down. And their name's going to be on a list that's going to be presented to the city commission. So if they don't want to get their name, and I'm good mind to publish all of them in Gray that buy liquor and get their name on, I'm good mind to publish it in the newspaper. We ought to do that. Do you know that? But anyway, Satan has been fighting God. And folks, we need to pray. We need to pray about it. Now, you say, preacher, they're going to get a liquor store out there anyway. Well, I don't know where they are or not. But I'm going to fight it. And if they do, they're not going to get a liquor store in here because of me. They're going to get a liquor store in here over me. Now, all I can do, I can't keep it out. All I can do is fight it and oppose it. And if it comes in, it's going to come in over me. And as I've said before, when I get to be mayor, I'm glad if they voted in up there, I'm going to get up and tell them when I get to be mayor of Gray Station in the millennium, I'm going to run to throw that liquor. I'm good mind to get up and tell them that up there. During the millennium, and by the way, I've already got a member that wanted to be on my cabinet. I got a letter this week from one of our members and said he wants to be one of my staff members when I'm mayor of Gray during the millennium. Amen. And I'm not taking applications, though, by the way. Well, let's go back to now. Let's look at verse 15. And we see in this prophecy the declaration in the latter part of verse 15 that it might be fulfilled. They went down into Egypt now, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now, we need to see this. They didn't run down to Egypt, because that's the only place that God could save his son from that murderer Herod. No, God could have taken care of Jesus anywhere he wanted to take care of him. If we're in the will of God, God can take care of us anywhere we are. God can take care of us. But he went down into Egypt for a specific purpose. And the latter part of verse 15 tells us exactly why the baby Jesus went down into Egypt. Why did God send him down into Egypt? Look at it. That it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. God sent him down into Egypt to fulfill his word, that out of Egypt I've called my son. So that's the reason. And the king of the Jews, the Messiah, had to be called out of Egypt. So a second proof that Jesus was Messiah the king was that he was called out of Egypt according to the word of God. Now let me give you quickly a couple of more these prophecies here. We see the third proof that Jesus was the King of the Jews, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, was this prophecy in verses 16 through 18 concerning the slaughter of the children. We see this awful slaughter in verse 16 by the wicked Herod. Look at it. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked to the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So he got, old Herod got mad as a wet hen at the wise men for tricking him, and they left without telling Herod where Christ was born. And so in his rage, he decided to slaughter all of the children, probably the male children, in Bethlehem and surrounding areas to rid himself of this king who was an aspirant to his throne. Can't you just see or just imagine the horror? Think about the horror that there must have been surrounding this slaughter of these children. Think of the mothers that the soldiers would come in and grab their little babies out of the crib, or a little small child just beginning to walk, and run them through with a sword, or take them by the legs and beat their brains out against the wall. This is what happened by this cruel Herod. But you know, this slaughter of these children was nothing to compare with just a few years later in AD 70, when the armies of Titus destroyed Jerusalem and over 1 million Jews were killed. And then think of the slaughter of the Jews under Hitler, over 6 million Jews during World War II. But the worst days are yet to come for the Jews. During the tribulation, the Antichrist, by the way, I saw the Antichrist knife tonight. Before, one of our men here has the Antichrist knife right back there. He showed it to me. Had a knife. What kind is that, Jeter? He's got it, though. 666, that's the number of that knife. Amen. But during the tribulation, the Antichrist will shed more Jewish blood than has ever been shed in the history of man. And that's why it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. And if the Lord didn't supernaturally spare a remnant of the Jews, the Antichrist would slaughter all of the Jews. But God is going to supernaturally take care of His children, His people, during the tribulation. And they think that it'll probably be up in the fortress of Petra. Has anyone ever been there to Petra? Anybody ever been there? Okay, one or two here have been there. But I've never been there. But some think that that's where that God, anyway, I don't know where it's going to be for sure, but God's going to not let the Antichrist kill all of the Jews. He's going to spare many of the Jews during the tribulation period. Now, why did Matthew include the slaughter of these children in chapter 2? Verse 17 and 18 gives us answer. Look at it quickly. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet. So, the slaughter of precious children was a fulfillment of the word of God spoken by Jeremiah. It's called Jeremy here. The prophet saying, in Ramah, was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning? Rachel weeping for her children, and they would not be comforted because they are not. So the king was born in Bethlehem, as Micah the prophet said. And then the king went down into Egypt, just as Hosea the prophet said. And then the king, his birth, caused the mothers in Israel to weep, just like Jeremiah the prophet said. Now there's one other proof that Jesus was the king, and that is in verses 19 through 23, this prophecy of the return from Egypt to Nazareth. We see in verse 19 that Herod was dead. And Josephus, the great historian, said Herod died. Listen, this man was anti-God and anti-Christ and was a cruel, wicked man. I want you to listen. Folks, listen. You die like you live. Remember that. You die like you... You go out and live a wicked life, and that's where you're going to die. Except in the special dispensation, the grace of God. Listen to the Josephus, the historian, tells us of the death, and I believe God had a hand in his death. Herod died of ulcerated entrails, putrefied and maggot-filled organs, constant convulsions, foul breath, and neither physicians nor warm baths could help him. I say that was a fitting death for this wicked man. Then when Herod died, the angel of the Lord appeared again to Joseph and said, Now, take your family back up into Israel. And then when they got into the land of, I won't read all this passage, but when they got into the back into Israel, they found out that the son of Herod, Archelaus, I guess the way you pronounce that, Archelaus did reign in Judea, in verse 22 it says, and so the Lord spoke to him again and warned him to go over into Galilee. Now, why did God, now folks, get this now, listen, look at it. Why did God want Joseph to take Jesus into Galilee? This is a great blessing to me. Look at verse 23 and we find out why God told Joseph to take his son into Galilee. And he came, look at verse 23, and he came and dwelt in a city over in Galilee called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled. See, that's why. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. God's King, God's Messiah, God's Anointed One, God's Christ, God's Messiah, he shall be called a Nazarene. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful how God, the Holy Spirit, led Matthew to pick out four proofs here that Jesus was the King of the Jews, the Messiah. And he went back to live in Nazareth. And he lived there till he was 30 years of age to fulfill the word of God that he would be called a Nazarene. Now, why did God want him in Nazareth to be called a Nazarene? Because Nazarenes were looked down upon. They were despised people. Sort of like the word Nazarene, sort of like the term hillbilly or redneck or Polack or something like that. And but Jesus was to be despised and rejected of men. And being a Nazarene fulfilled the prophecy and the description that he was to be a despised person and a rejected person. And his being a Nazarene just added to the reproach and scorn of men that they heaped on the Savior. The song says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Thank God he bore our reproach and bore our shame as the lowly Nazarene. Now, these four prophecies here in Matthew 2 prove that Jesus was the King God had promised. Now, in chapter 1, as I've already mentioned to you, we see that he was a descendant of David. And therefore, because he was a descendant of David, he has a right when he comes back to sit on King David's throne in Jerusalem. And one day, the heavens are going to open, and Jesus is coming back to this earth as King of kings and Lord of lords. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. He's coming again. I believe it's soon. Folks, I don't know how this world could get any worse, harder than it's getting. Things are in bad shape today. Our churches are in bad shape. Our country's in bad shape. I believe the only hope of this world and this country is the coming of the Lord. And I believe that Jesus' coming is nigh. Are you ready if he'd come back tonight? Are you living for him? Are you living close to him? Are you saved? Do you know him? Are you ready if he'd come back tonight? If not, you ought to come this altar and make preparation. Get ready. King Jesus is coming. He came the first time. He's coming back the second time. Be ye also ready, for in hours you think not, the Son of Man cometh. With our heads bowed now, what is that, brother? Let's just have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing just a verse of an invitation hymn. And let the Lord speak to your heart tonight. Father, we thank you for this good service. Thank you for the good songs that blessed our heart. Thank you for the good word of God that proved to us that Jesus is the blessed Son of God, the King of the Jews, the Messiah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We know him as our Savior tonight. We who are saved. And I pray for every Christian in this building, God, that you would draw them close to thee and help them to realize everything they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's those here that say that need to come to this altar with burdens or with needs, may they come. And somebody here not saved, may they come tonight, find Christ near and dear to their heart. And have your way now. Maybe somebody here needs to join the church. May they come. In Jesus' name we pray. Holy Spirit, draw people to this altar and to Jesus and to heaven. And we'll thank you in his name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing 293. 293. Is your all on the altar? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing tonight? Somebody come and say, preacher, I want my all on the altar. And I want everything on the altar for Jesus. Come on, God speak to your heart. Come on.
But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar a sacrifice slain? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul.
Before we sing the next verse, wait just a moment, please. Folks, search your heart tonight. Is your all on the altar? You say, Lord, I want everything. Here I am. I want to be sold out lock, stock, and barrel to you. And I want your power, and I want your help in life. Or you can have victory in your life. You just turn everything. Say, I want to be sold out to Jesus. Maybe you need to come to this altar and tell him that tonight. Maybe you just need to come and pray. Maybe you need to be saved. Whatever it is. Let's sing that next verse and you just move out. Come this altar if God's speaking to you. Come on. Obey the Holy Spirit.
Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all on the altar, your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice? Christ laid. Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit